The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. Jesus said to the crowds, "This is how it is with the kingdom of God. It is as if a man were to scatter seed in the land and would sleep and rise night and day, and through it all the seed would sprout and grow, he knows not how. Of its own accord the land yields fruit, first the blade, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. And when the grain is ripe, he wields the sickle at once, for the harvest has come." He said, "To what shall we compare the kingdom of God? Or what parable can we use for it? It is like a mustard seed that when it is full grown, that when it is sown in the ground is the smallest of all the seeds on the earth. But once it is sown, springs up and becomes the largest of plants, and puts forth large branches so that the birds of the sky can dwell in its shade." With many such parables, he spoke the word to them as they were able to understand it. Without parables, he did not speak to them, but to his own disciples, he explained everything in private. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Jesus Christ.
Please be seated. Well, happy Father's Day to everybody. So here's the rules. If you are a dad, or if you ever had a dad, or if you're friends with anybody who's a dad, then you have to pay attention. If you don't fall into any of those categories, then you can, you know, read the Bible or do whatever else you want and just distract yourself. So, let me tell you what I would do if I were the devil. Sometimes people think I am, but if I really were the devil, I would do everything I can to destroy the image of God in the world, right? That's kind of what the devil does. He wants to combat God, and therefore anytime there's anything that gives glory to God, he wants to destroy it and, you know, corrupt it and do all those kind of things. So if I were the devil, I would say, well, what are the things that most give glory to God and most represent him? Well, it's going to be humanity, which is exactly what happened in Genesis. When God created Adam and Eve, they were perfect. They were like the perfect human beings. And then the devil tempted Adam and Eve and they fell. And why did he make a big deal? Because it says in the Bible that Adam and Eve were created in the image and likeness of God. Okay? And each Adam and Eve both represent, if you want, different facets of God. But Adam in particular, and that means all of us men, Adam in particular was created by God to represent God the Father himself. So, and not just to like be a symbol of him, but to be like him, to live and to kind of carry that same calling and vocation of God the Father himself in the universe. So if you're the devil and you really want to cause problems, you're going to attack, well, both Adam and Eve, but you're really going to nail that. And that's precisely what he did. John Paul II summarized it like this. He said in the Garden of Eden, the God who is love, right? God has only revealed himself to be a God of love. And what happened through, because Adam and Eve succumbed to the devil's temptation, they gave up the truth of God's love. And from that moment onward, there was created a master and slave relationship or mentality. And from that moment onward, Adam, mankind, our fallen nature, the men in particular, started taking on kind of the mentality, if you want, of a masters and everybody else being servants. That's the corrupted, fallen version of humanity and of mankind without God's grace. Okay? And if we look at society, it's kind of interesting. If you do the analysis now, I do not have the numbers with me. I could have gone and done a little simple Google research. I simply didn't get it done. But if you want to look, for example, go to the prisons or see what are the results of when people do not have solid father figures in their lives. Almost every single person that you will find in prison If you dig into their past, you will find either they don't know their dad, or he was abusive, or he was in jail, or he was absentee, or he was just really weak, or some way or another, the father figure is lacking. Every single time you find somebody in prison, practically that's going to be the case. In fact, I gave this homily at the 10:30 Mass in a different parish, and one of the ladies came up to me after Mass and she said, "Father, I spent my career working in juvenile detention." And she said, "It's mathematical. Every single kid she had in juvie, either they don't know their dad or their dad is in jail." Okay? That is what happens when the image of God the Father in fatherhood is destroyed. And the same thing applies if you look at the difference between kids going to, you know, kids being raised in solid two-parent families where both the father and the mother are very present. Look at their grades. Okay? Look at rates of suicide. Look at rates of drug use. Look at rates of depression. Every single one of those categories you will see. When the father is present and loving in the family, you know, it's kind of almost a non-factor. And when they're not, you see all these problems, okay? So this is not going to be one of those depressing homilies, though, because frankly, my job today is not to beat up dads. It's precisely to say how important you are. It is precisely to say how much we need them, how much we need to pray for our dads and appreciate them, because frankly, you know what? If you weren't here, if you guys weren't around, none of us would even exist. So that's kind of important. So what is a father's role? What is it? What is the one particular way that men are called to represent God? Like I said, women, mothers have a different way, different dimensions of God that they will represent, right? But what is a man's role? We are called as fathers to be benevolent strength. That is our gift to society, benevolent strength. And if you split those two, then you got problems. If you're just benevolence and no strength, then you're the pushover dad, the dad who gives in to all the kids' concessions, the dad who lets the kids just sit around and play video games and eat junk food and doesn't really particularly drive them or inspire them or motivate them to do better. And if you're just strength and no benevolence, you're essentially Joseph Stalin. I think we've already discovered throughout human history that those kind of figures are not really good for humanity, okay? So it is the combination of benevolent strength. It was actually an anecdote I read about a wife, the difference between men and women, the way that men love and women love. So this one wife, young married couple, I think she was training for a marathon or something, and she was gonna do it together with her husband. They were gonna train for marathon or half marathon, something difficult. And she was just at a stage where she just wanted to quit. She was like, "I'm just so tired, I'm wiped out. I can't go anymore." And she was hoping to hear these words from her husband. "It's okay, hon. You did great. Just, you know, let's sit and..." No, she said, "No, my husband did exactly what I didn't want. He starts trying to motivate me. You can do it. I believe in you. I'll help you. Let's do it together." She just wants to, like, drop dead. Okay, what's the difference? That is two different ways of loving, and they're both totally... We need both of them in our lives. But the way that a man is typically going to express love is by challenging in a good way to do the difficult thing, to bring out the best in you, to encourage you and motivate you, and sometimes to demand out of love, not because he's a dictator, but to demand out of love that you live up to the potential that you are capable of living up to. And if we're lacking that, then we get a soft pushover culture. And that is not true love. So, what are three ways? I'm going to give you guys three tips, okay? Three things that we can do in order to grow in this. First of all, in order to be that dad, that father figure that is able to demand out of love, if you're just demanding and nobody believes you love them, you don't have any credit. And if you are loving and demanding, but nobody sees that you're living up to it in your own life, then you also don't get any credit. So you gotta walk the talk, right? But given that, what are three things that we can do to grow in our roles as dads, okay? Spiritual fathers, in my case, men, or just father figures, the case of coaches or mentors or whatever, but nonetheless, all of those are dimensions of fatherhood. Okay, number one. Drum roll. I'm not going to tell you. Number one is, before I give you what the title is, I'm going to ask you a question. Do you remember back in the 90s, some of you guys were hardly even born, back in the 90s, you used to always hear about quality time, right? That was when that term became popular. Obviously, it still exists. Quality time. And the idea was, you know what, we're all so busy, but I'm going to make sure that I dedicate some real quality time with my family a couple times a year, and we're going to go to Lake Tahoe or Disneyland or whatever, and just spend time together. Well, I remember one time I was asking a friend of mine. Now, this friend of mine is the president and major stockholder in a major investment firm. You know, he's got tons, oodles of money. His father founded what is currently, it's a mid-size firm. And most guys I know in his category are working like 80 hours a week, you know, jet setting. They're already on their third wife. Their kids all have drug issues and everything. And this guy has like 8 kids. They all came out great. One of them is a priest. And I asked him, how did you do it? And he said, look, you know that whole thing about quality time? It's baloney. It's baloney. You don't need quality time. You need quantity time. Now, this guy was in a position that he could structure things and so that he could make time. But he could have legitimately said, I'm all over the place. I'm in working 8 hours a week, whatever. He could have legitimately gone that route. He made sure that at least a few times a week he was home for dinner and he would ask the kids what they're being taught in school and he would go over homework with them. He would pack their lunch with them. He knew who had a hockey game and who had lacrosse or whatever. He was engaged in their lives and their kids grew up understanding dad can't always be there. Fine. But they also knew that he was invested. Quantity time to the extent that you can. When you die and go to judgment, you are not ever, nobody, man in this church is going to say, I wish I spent more time in the office. I wish I spent more time away from home. I was with my kids way too much. If only I would have spent more time doing other things. Nobody, I guarantee, is going to do that. Okay, so that's number one. Number two is real simple, and I don't need to elaborate. Pray. You remember the old expression, the family that prays together stays together? Well, I'm not going to go down that rabbit hole because that'd be a whole new homily, but trust me, it is so true. If you simply pray for 5 minutes a day as a family, guarantee, I promise you, money back guarantee, which I have nothing to lose because I haven't given you any money and you haven't given me any, but guaranteed, your family in the long run will pull through. If you don't pray together, you're on quicksand. End of that point. The third one is related, and this is one I'll bet most of you have never thunk of. Okay? Did you parents, and it applies to moms too, so this is a Mother's Day as well as a Father's Day thing. Did you parents know that you can give blessings? You know how as a priest people come to me and ask for blessings and at the end of Mass I'm going to give you a blessing and everything? Okay, spoiler alert, at the end of Mass all the dads are going to be invited up not only to get a blessing but also a chocolate bar. So you're not allowed to leave Mass early before the final blessing or else you don't get chocolate. Okay, so did you know that as parents you can give blessings to your kids? And here's the way it works. When God created the family, there is an authority structure. When you are married, you create bonds of kind of spiritual authority over each other as spouses and especially over your children. And you have spiritual power. If you go and bless somebody else, it probably won't do a whole lot. But within your immediate family, parents have tremendous spiritual power. You can call down the blessing of God regularly on your kids. How many of you, for example, bless your kids before they go to bed? Or bless your kids when they go to school or go to sports or whatever? How many of you do that? If you do that regularly, like in Latino families, that's a thing, and they're very wise. If we do that regularly, you can be protecting and bringing down God's grace and protection and blessings upon your children. You've got the power to do that. You can go there. So, those are my three tips, okay? And if you persevere to the end, all of you dads, you will get your own blessing from Father Eric, and you'll get a chocolate bar, so don't go anywhere. Now, Father and Son, Holy Spirit.